hymns well worth singing. 1 John 5, I hope you have profited from this book. And not only that, but I hope you've enjoyed it. I was speaking with one of our ladies how that we have looked at this book several times, but the older you get, you see things not completely differently, but yet you just grow in grace and knowledge of Christ and the truth, and you see new things that you didn't see before. These last 8 or 9 verses, as you saw while you were reading, are very serious and deal with a frightening subject, sin unto death. And what this is talking about is a sin that leads to damnation. And there's only one. So there is a sin unto death. And what that is unbelief. Unbelief. And apostasy. Apostasy means someone who leaves the faith, who seemed to believe, but left. And that's the same thing as unbelief, is it not? With John, we read in the beginning of this book how that it says, if someone went out from us, they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued. Because that which is born of God cannot sin this sin unto death. Now, we need to deal with this subject. The Word deals with it. But we're not going to dwell on it. Rather, we're going to dwell on sin not unto death. Aren't you glad? And we want to end this study, Lord willing, rejoicing. All right? May the Lord enable you to forget everything. Forget everything. Everybody and everything. All right. Verse 13 said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Those of you who believe Christ. The name means who He is. You have a name. It's who you are. When you think of someone like Mac Torrance, you think of him as being so tall, real tall, and so kind and gracious and all of those things. Well, those of you who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who you believe. That's who you believe. He is your Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. Jesus, Savior, Christ. These things are written unto you who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, name of the Son of God. He has but one. Now, he said, these things have I written. Now, he said a great deal, hasn't he? God has written quite a bit. John just took dictation. This is God's Word. He wrote many things. Admonitions. He told us over there, love not the world, nor the things of the world. So dangerous, so deadly. Exhortations. Love one another. Love one another as Christ loved you. Warnings. Try the spirits. Abide, walk in the light as He is in the light. If not, and in all of the blessed promises, all the promises that He writes in this book, like this, in His man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Verse 25 of that same chapter says, this is the promise that He hath promised us, eternal life. God who cannot lie, all that trust His Son. It's a promise. We have eternal life. Chapter 3, verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. He says, I know it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but nevertheless, now are we the sons of God. As He is, so are we. All the blessed promises, like this, in chapter 4, verse 9, says, Here's manifested the love of God to us. He sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe? All these blessed promises. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Those of you who truly trust Him. All your hope is in Him. In the name of the Son of God. And He says in verse 13, He goes on to say, And that you may know that you have eternal life. Can someone know? Well, God said you could. Is that presumption? No, it's faith is what it is. It's faith. It's believing God. It's taking Him at His word. And He said that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That is, believe more fully. Believe more fully. All right, now look at verse 14. He said, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, concerning Him. This is our confidence that we have in Christ. All of these things that He's written, all of these blessed promises that He's written to believers should give us confidence. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. We have an intercessor. We have a high priest. That we may have confidence in Him. And here's the confidence we have in this high priest. Verse 14, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now we're talking about calling on God the Father through Christ. And it says here we may have confidence that He hears us. And we only call through Christ. You know that. 1 Timothy 2, 5 says there's one mediator between God and man. You know that? Who do you call on? When you call on God, I know who you call. I hear you. Whose name do you speak to the Father, asking Him to hear you through? Jesus Christ is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And He said, when He prayed at Lazarus' tomb, remember? He said, I know that you always hear me, but I said it for their sake. And He said that for our sake. The Father always hears Him. And always hears those who pray through Him. All right, what does this mean? It says here in verse 14, we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, first thing we need to understand is that He's talking about being heard. That's the main thing. There's quite a few people that pray and their prayers don't bounce off the ceiling. I mean, they do bounce off the ceiling. They don't get beyond that. Go to Matthew chapter 6 with me. Matthew chapter 6. He says here, though, if we ask anything according to His will, God's will, He hears us. He hears us. What does it mean to ask something according to God's will? Well, look here at Matthew chapter 6. The Lord teaches His disciples to pray. Look at what He said. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy God, Holy Father, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. thy will be done. You remember when the Lord himself prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. This is what it means to pray according to his will. It means to ask everything and precede it with that. Lord, I want your will to be done. Now, here's what I'm asking. I don't know if it's your will or not. It might not be. But I want your will to be done. And he'll hear you. He'll hear you. Go back to the text. He will hear you. And you know that prayer the Lord taught us. What did he tell us to ask for? Bread? Forgiveness? And that's about it. Lead us not into temptation. That's it. Thy will be done. Lord, supply me my bread. Forgive me my trespasses. Enable me to forgive others. Don't lead me into temptation. This is your kingdom. That's it. He'll hear that. He'll hear that. And he'll give you all those things. Let me ask you, what else do you need? What else do you need? Having food and raiment, let us be content. Well, go back here. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, the Heavenly Father hears his children. He does. And while we pray through a mediator, Christ did say, you can go to the Father. You have free access to the Father. Admit. But we are like little children, and we don't know what to ask for most of the time. This is what Romans 8, verse 26 says. We know not what things we should ask for as we ought. James rebukes us, saying that you ask amiss to consume it on your own desire, selfish desire. Anybody guilty besides me? So we're like little children. We know not what we should pray for most of the time. And we don't always know the will of God. The will of God can be summed up two ways. The will of God can be summed up two ways. The revealed will of God. Things we clearly see that are his will. And we're going to look at that in a minute. And the secret will of God, which we don't know. We just don't know what God's going to do from day to day. We don't know. We don't know. Most of the time, we don't know what God's will for the next day is. Do we? So we just have to ask, thy will be done. But he says here in verse 15, we know that he hears us. Well, that ought to be comforting in itself. I remember as a child, I used to ask my father things. Sometimes he wouldn't answer me. And I'd ask him again and again. And finally he said, I heard you. That means, don't ask me again. he would say something like this, I'll take care of it, or I'll see to it. And it should be comforting to us just to know that God hears us. He hears us. And quite often, he does not give us what we ask for. But he says here, if we ask according to his will, verse 15 is continuing there, we know we have the petitions we desired of him. If our desire is really his will to be done, then we're going to have that. We're going to have that. Now, every believer, as he is, so are we. Every believer truly in his heart says, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, don't let me have what I want if it's not your will. Lord, don't let me go where I would go if it's not your will. Don't you? Lord, don't let me do this if it's not your will. You say, well, how could you? Well, you understand what we're saying. Quite often the Lord, according to our obstinance or our rebellion, says, okay, and just leaves us alone for a little while to do as we will. And we get in deep trouble. And we find out, I didn't seek the Lord, did I? I ran ahead. But He did that to teach us. Teach us. But if we ask God for these things, I know for a fact from God's Word, these are the revealed will of God. These things God will grant to those that ask for them. Our brother read from the Psalms. In one Psalm, it says 26 times, His mercy endureth forever. I know our greatest need, because we're sinners. We're going to see there's some sinners who are not going to get mercy. But He said, His mercy endureth forever. Whoever He gives this mercy to, whoever He shows saving mercy to, it's forever. And we ask for mercy, He's promised to give it. How about grace? Grace means gift. We are what we are by the grace of God. We know what we know. We can do what we can do by the grace of God. The constraining grace of God. We don't do what we would do by the restraining grace of God. You need grace? Huh? How much grace do you need? If you're a great sinner, you need great grace. The Lord promised to give more grace. He's the God of all grace. And He's promised to give more. Did you throw away the grace He gave you yesterday? James said, let Him ask, and He gives liberally. And He upbraideth not. Fresh grace, new grace, daily grace. He's promised to give it. How about wisdom? Anybody feel like you don't know what to do and where to go most of the time? Am I? I'm supposed to be the leader here. James once again said, any of you lack wisdom? Let him ask. God freely gives. Wisdom to know what to do, where to go. All wisdom must come from above. True wisdom. Patience. Strength. The Lord has promised to give these things. These are His will. Throughout the Scriptures, He promises these things. He will give these things. You will have these things if you ask for them. It's His will. It's His will. Now, He answers and He gives things in His time. In His time. Not yours. Not mine. See, we ask, we want, Lord, I want patience, and I want it now. How do these things generally come? All of these things are things of great price, invaluable things. Anything that's worth something generally is hard to obtain. Trial of your faith worketh patience, and patience experience hope, and so forth. So trial and tribulation. God doesn't answer us immediately. Listen, everything is going exactly according to God's sovereign purpose, which He purposed before the world began. Everything, the wheels of God's providence are turning. And nothing can change. Nothing can change. But they turn slowly. And God's not going to stop and change anything or do anything or just whenever we holler. He's just not going to do it. There's a much bigger picture. A much bigger picture. That we have those things, He promised. And God always answers us. He always answers us basically one way. Would you want to guess how that is? He doesn't speak out loud. He doesn't, you're not going to be sitting up on a mountain and a bolt of lightning strikes. How? How do you answer your children? You speak to them. God speaks one way. He speaks one way. So, that's how He answers. Now, the next verse. The next verse has something to do with prayer. He's talking about prayer, calling on God. He says, we know we have the petitions that we desire of Him. And this is something that I think you'll notice about older, mature believers. And I hope it's you. That when you grow in grace and mature in the faith, what you'll find yourself praying more for is not for yourself, but for other people. Other people. And God will definitely answer those who pray for others. Let me give you a scripture. The scripture says about Job that the Lord turned the captivity of Job, problems, troubles that Job was going through. When? Anybody know the answer to that? The rest of that. When he prayed for his friends. The Lord blessed Job. And he didn't do it for that reason. He did it sincerely. Job was, the root of the matter was in Job. The root? Who's the root? Christ. He was a Christ-like man. How did Christ pray? Intercessor. That's who he was. And we'll find ourselves, I believe, the older we get, praying more for other people than ourselves. Your concerns will be, as you see, that you're a very, very small part of huge picture. That the world doesn't stop for you, for us. And it doesn't revolve around us and our problems and so forth. That there's a greater picture, namely the glory of God Almighty. The glory of God. A greater picture. The good of the church. Good of the church. Which we're a part of. This is not made up of individuals. We're many members, but one body. And I'm placed here. You're placed here. Why? To serve myself? No. To serve the body. And what does the body serve? The head. That's right. The older we get, I hope, in the faith, we'll learn that something much greater than myself. And material things won't be such a pressing matter, but rather spiritual things. Spiritual things. And the spiritual welfare of our brethren. Because he goes on to say, verse 16, I've got to hurry. If any man see his brother sin a sin, now he's talking about prayer. If any man see his brother sin, a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and God shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So he says here, if we see a brother sin, a sin not unto death. Now what sin is that? Well, all manner of sin, our Lord said, all manner of sin shall be forgiven. Thank God. All manner, but one. But one. And the believer, and here's the promise, the believer, the one who truly trusts Christ, will never be charged with one sin before God. Never. That person does not have one sin charged to his account. Believers have had all their sins, past, present, and thank God, future, paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paid in full. Yes, they have. He bore their sins in His own body on the tree. He took them away. And God promised, I'll remember them no more. Is that good news? If you're a sinner, it is. But it happens often that we, all of us, fall into sin. We all fall into sin. What kind of sins? Well, name one. If we don't actually do it by God's restraining grace, we've come close. Or we think it. Name one. Adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, cheating, killing. You've been so angry at somebody if you had been given the opportunity. The Lord just doesn't, by His restraining grace, just doesn't. Oh, my. Cursing, bitterness, drunkenness, hatred, malice, anger, name one. Covetousness. Name a believer in the Scriptures that didn't fall. Abraham. God begins with him. Abraham, father of the faithful. You know what he did? Unthinkable. Lot. Oh. Jacob. Oh, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help. David. Solomon. Solomon got to be an old man, Henry, and he didn't learn anything, did he? Peter. All manner of sins shall be forgiven. But how do we know someone is a believer who commits such things? How do we tell them apart? Someone who falls into these things. How do we tell them apart from the rest of the world is doing the same thing? Well, Proverbs 24:16 says this, a just man falleth seven times. Can you quote the rest of it? Rises again. Even a believer can fall and waller in the pig pen. Prodigal son. But bless God. And it's only by the grace and mercy of God. He or she won't stay there. They don't like it there. God brings them to themselves. That's what repentance is. You know, that's what repentance is. God brings us to repentance. To realize, what have I done? How could I have sinned? I've sinned against heaven and come running back to the Father like the prodigal. What does he do? Falls on your neck and kisses you through the gospel. Seven times. What? The Lord says seven, okay. Does that mean just seven? disciples asked the Lord that, didn't they? Lord, how many times shall we forgive our brother?
You better forgive them as much as I forgive you.
How many times? Seven times? 70 times 7. And that means 70 times 7 times every day. Not lifetime, every day. They don't stay fallen. That's how you know the difference. They don't live in it. They don't continue in it. They mourn over it. They repent over it. They're convicted of it. They turn from it. They repent of it. And God forgives them. And the most common sin, I believe he's talking about here, is a brother, we see a brother's sin, a sin not unto death. Most common sin we see brethren get into, and it seems to be that they're might be falling away. Hadn't known the story, you would thought he was apostate, wouldn't you? How could a man do what he did and not repent of it? He didn't for 10 months, 11 months, 12 months, and who knows how long. But God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved David, sent a prophet, sent Nathan, sent the gospel. He said, thou art the man. That's the first thing the gospel says. Thou art the man, guilty as charged. Again, he wrote Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned. But Nathan went quickly said, God has forgiven you. But you're going to have trouble now. We see a brother get into an attitude. Bitterness, cold, malice, pride, whatever. And we ask, Lord, don't let him fall away. Don't let her fall away. That's what this is about. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel. Doesn't every believer in here think, often you think, if anybody leaves, it'll be me. Well, we all see one another get in these. If we haven't, we will. And he says, let us ask. And he says in verse 16, God will give life to them that sin not unto death. Any sin. Good news. Any sin. But sin not unto death. Any sin. Are you listening to this? There's only one that is. Only one. How many sins are there? Oh. But he said, there's only one that'll damn you. And if anybody see a brother sin a sin, oh, how could he do that and be a believer? It's because he's flesh, that's how. And but for the grace of God, I'd do the same thing. I think it was, who was it? Now, John Bunyan. One of the old writers saw a drunk stumbling by on the street one day. And he said, I think it was John Bunyan. He said, there goes John Bunyan, but for the grace of God. We are what we are by the grace of God. 100%. We're going to find that out someday. We'll find that out. Absolutely. And so he says, ask, and God will give life. God will give life. Now, all of us have fallen and thought, I'm a goner. I'm lost. I'm cast out. Like Peter, didn't he? Peter thought he was lost. But God. God grants repentance. God grants to hear the gospel. Peter heard the gospel. Peter heard it through a man. The disciples said, Peter, the Lord told us, you too. He's calling for us. And you too, Peter. He said, and Peter. And God grants us, we hear the gospel and we feel pardoned all over again. When you, after you've been down and dirty and the Lord forgives you, come back to Him, you feel like alive from the dead. No. That's what the father said about that prodigal son, this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. There is a sin unto death. Verse 16. I do not say that he shall pray for it. There is a sin unto death. What is that? I've already told you. It's unbelief. It's apostasy. It's someone leaving the gospel finally. Completely. Now, we don't know when that is. We don't know. Do we? We don't know. God knows. He says here, I do not say that you should pray for it. He doesn't say, don't pray. Does he? He doesn't forbid you there to pray, does he? But what he's saying on the side of caution, and that you won't get your hopes up too much. Do you see this? He's saying, God might not, probably won't answer. A heretic after the first and second admonition. And we all know people who've been here and left. People we love. We still love them. And we pray for them. But now, let me show you here. Oh, back in Hebrews chapter 6 is the clearest example of this, okay? Hebrews chapter 6. There are others, Matthew 12, Hebrews 10. But here, Hebrews 6 is the best description of this. It says here in Hebrews 6, verse 4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God, powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. See, and they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Willful rejection. Over in Hebrews 10, it talks about if any man sin willfully. That's what that's talking about. Before that, he says, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some evil. Some do. And they that regard, Jeanette, you and I, that Jonah 2:8 says, they that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That means anything. If you don't buy the truth and sell it not, then whatever it is we're taken up with is a lying vanity. And you've forsaken your own mercy. Anything or anyone that promises us something, we go after it at the expense of Christ. God might let us have it and then leave us alone. That's true. And that's what it means willfully. You know, it says, if any man sin willfully after he received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. We don't will to be saved. It's not of our own will that we're begotten. James said, no, of his own will. God's will hath he begotten us with the word of truth. God's choice, God's will of us. But I tell you what, we will to sin. We don't get the credit any part of salvation. No, sir. But we're going to get the absolute blame if we leave the gospel. How do you explain that? You don't. That's just the way it is. If a person leaves the gospel, they didn't love Christ. They love something or somebody else better. And God lets them have it. And he says, I do not say that you should pray for that person. They have what they want. They have what they want. My. That's serious, isn't it? What do we need to be asking for more than anything else? There's one sin, no doubt.
What do we need to ask for more than anything else? What's our greatest need?
Lord, spare me.
Thy will be done.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Keep me by your power.
Isn't that our greatest need?
All these things.
Oh, these other things will be added to you. All these other things.
Well, now he says all unrighteousness is sin, back in our text. All unrighteousness is sin. And there's a sin, not unto death. We've already looked at that. In the context, he says in verse 18, we know, and I like this, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Back there in Hebrews 6, verse 9, he said, beloved,
we're persuaded better things of you.
Things that accompany salvation. I just believe that Nancy Parks is going to make it. I just believe that. Love believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Now, she's gotten in a bad way before. It might have been my fault. And I pray for her. Come back to her old self. Young self. And I've gotten a bad way. And I know she's faithful. And on it goes. It go around the room. I just kind of believe. God. Things that accompany salvation. Now, if somebody manifests an attitude and keeps manifesting that, and keeps manifesting that, he talks about loving the brethren. Somebody seems to love the world more. Somebody that doesn't show much love and just goes on and on and on, it won't surprise me if we don't see it again. And we'll pray for them, Lord, please. But it might not, and it probably won't. That's what that meant. That's exactly what that meant. Now, let's go on. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Don't you see clearly that you're saved by the sovereign electing mercy and grace of God Almighty? Huh? Who's not going to sin this sin? Those that are born of God. Born of God. I'm never going to kick that girl out of my family. Never. Why? She's my chief. Bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. Whosoever is born of God won't sin this sin. Won't sin this sin. Well, look at this, though. This seems confusing, doesn't it? It says in verse 18, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Is that contradictory? Is God's word contradictory? It's confusing. No, we're the confused ones. Man's the one that's confused. Like this throughout the Scripture. Scripture says, keep yourselves under the love of God. In the love of God. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say, hold fast the beginning of your confidence, steadfast in? Doesn't it say that? It sure does. He says, we'll be saved if we continue in the faith. What's that saying? That we keep ourselves? Why, of course not. Of course not. But here's the fact of the matter. The believer, by God's grace, puts on the whole armor of God. That's what he's talking about, he that keepeth his commandments. Does what he says. The believer comes to hear the gospel, keeps himself under the love of, in the love of God. That's where the love of God is, isn't it? Where is it? In Christ our Lord. There is no love of God outside of Christ, the gospel. So a believer is going to come where he knows he's going to be forgiven. And a believer is not going to run after this and that and the other wind of doctrine. A believer, by God's grace, lays hold of Christ and won't let go, even in the face of their sins. Like old Jacob. Jacob said, I will not let you go. Why did he say that? Because God took hold of him, John. That's why he said that. And Paul said the same thing, didn't he? He said, I lay hold of, or I, that I might apprehend that by which I'm apprehended. keep yourself. If you leave this gospel, there remaineth no more sacrifice. And it says here, I like this. Look at this. You'll like this. It says, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Where do you feel molested and wounded and bruised and molested and so much? Well, everywhere. As soon as you leave here, you're bombarded, aren't you? Sin, the temptation, the wicked one molests you. Where do you run for refuge? Where will you not be molested? Under His wing, we sang that song. Under His wing. Run, quick, run. This is why we come to hear the gospel. We run into the city of refuge again. We've been molested. We've been abused, wounded, and bruised, haven't we? And we come running back to the shelter in time of storm. And don't you feel like in here nothing moves and nothing harms us? This is the Lord is a strong tower. While under the gospel, at the foot of the cross, at Christ's feet, like the woman caught in the act, brought to Christ's feet, bless God. Oh, she blessed God's the rest of her days that they brought her to Christ's feet. They brought her to the only place where she wouldn't be stoned. Brought her to Christ. The law says, what do you say? Ooh, he said, not to me. Everybody else is, not her. Where do you reckon she wanted to stay from there on out? Lord, if you don't mind, I'd just like to stay right here at your feet. I feel safe. I feel safe. And the wicked one won't touch you. Now he concludes by saying, we know, verse 19, that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And once again, this is not presumption. This is not pride. We're not saying that we're better than anybody else, that we know anything, know more than other people. Salvation is not knowing more than other people. It's being known. Paul said that. He said, after you have known, or rather, are known by, we don't know anything. We're just babies. Based by His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify them. Not my knowledge. Is not. And right here he says, we know we're of God. How's that? All those things that have been written. All the things that have written. You believe on the name of the Son of God? Do you? Becca, if you believe, you love God's people? You don't have to stop and think about that, do you? Like Peter? You don't have to stop. I don't know, but I think it. Oh, no. You love Irene, John? Oh, but John said, oh, yeah. Like, what a stupid question. Well, that's the way that... Oh. It's not presumption. It's not pride. It's faith. Taking God at His word, and He says, you may know. Hereby you may know. How? All these things. These things are written that you may know. We're of God. You're looking at one of the greatest recipients and examples of the sovereign saving grace of God on the top side of your brain. You really are. Had you known me, you'd have thought, like some of the old folks at 13th Street, you'd have thought, no hope for him. But God. Now we know we're of God. I wouldn't be here. I would not be here. But for the sovereign grace of God. Wouldn't be here. He's not bragging about us or himself. He's just stating the fact. And the whole world lies in wickedness. It's pretty obvious right now, isn't it? I mean, right down at this moment, it's pretty obvious that the whole world lies in wickedness. All these people that profess, even these people that profess Jesus Christ, the whole world is mourning over the Antichrist. The whole world. We put our flags at half mast over them. A man whom they call the Holy Father. But here's what Jesus Christ said, the Father. They that worship God, they worship the Father, the Holy Father, in spirit and truth. How is it that you know? And why is it that you're not deceived like the rest of this world? This is what John is saying. This is exactly what John is saying. But for the sovereign grace of God, we'd all be in mourning over a wicked man. Putting our trust in Him, praying to Him, wouldn't it? And it's only by the grace of God that you know there's one mediator, and that's the one you pray to. It's only by the grace of God you know that there's one Holy Father, and you pray to Him. It's only by the grace of God that you don't crucify Christ afresh. You know that He paid that one time and we're not to do it again. And this is just remembrance. Only by, we know we're of God. And the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world. It's obvious, the open wickedness is obvious, but the religious wickedness is even more obvious to those who know the truth, isn't it? Verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. We wouldn't know this. You see, this, he's just stating a fact. He hath given us. He keeps saying this, doesn't he? This is the record. God hath given us. The world doesn't know that. Vicki, the world doesn't know that, that salvation is by grace. They say it, but they don't believe it. They're preaching everything. Their methods deny it. But you know it, don't you? You know if you're going to be in heaven, God gave it to you. 100,000%. You know that from the depth of your heart, don't you? Not just in your head. It's not a doctrine. It's your hope of eternal life. You know it so. Not a lot. I know salvation by sovereign. And you know it's a person. That you're going to enter heaven someday, not because Peter opens the gates. We sung it because he opened the gates. That righteous, the King of Kings, walked through, and people are going to get in because of him. We're going to be there because Christ is going to stand and say, he's with me. I died for him. It's not going to be a questionnaire. What do you think about it? Christ is going to answer. He's come. He's given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true. See that? Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because this is the true God. Again, that's not a doctrine. No. We say with Thomas from the depth of our heart, don't we? My Lord and my God. Who can forgive sins but God? And eternal life. This is eternal life. Little children, he closes with a warning. Because we're in this world, and it's a dangerous place. They went out from us. And they were not of us. Why did they go out from us? What did Paul say about Demas? Demas, in one letter, Paul was saying, Demas says hello. In another letter, he said, Demas hath forsaken me. Why? It's only one thing. Having loved this present world.
whatever it was, whoever it was.
Little children,
keep yourselves from idols. An idol is anything. Anything. Anything we adore, we worship, we go after, and we've got to have. Keep yourselves from idols. Aren't you glad there is a sin not unto death? Lord, keep us. Amen. All right, stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank You, thank You, thank You for Your Word. Without it, we are in darkness even as others. Thank You that we not only have it, but we've heard it, but more than that, we understand. But we preach in part. We know in part. We don't fully understand. We do not. We don't pretend to. But we know this from Your Word, that Your Son is our hope. And we plead Him and look to Him. We ask that for His sake, that You would keep us from falling away. We believe You will, according to Your promise, according to riches, Your riches in glory and riches in grace, in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is my prayer for our brethren and for myself. Amen. You're dismissed.